Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Mem Beis. We're holding two lines from the bottom of Mem Aleph Omid Beis. You'll recall, on the first and second wide lines on Mem Aleph Omid Beis, we had a simon of several real-life case scenarios and the psakim of the various amiroim. What do you do in those cases? So we started off with the simon Reuven b'Shimon, the Tano Hilchasa, Yas v'Yupara, Ploini Uploini, and now we're up to Aftzi. What is Aftzi? So we're going to have that right now. Two lines on the bottom of the Amud. Hahudi Amalei v'Chavrei. Havli shis mea zuzi dem siknebach. Don't you remember? I lent you 600 zuzi, and you haven't paid me. Amalei, v'lei praticha, mea kavi, Aftzi. Don't you remember that I paid you back, not with cash, but I gave you 100 kavim of Aftzi. Aftzi are walnuts. And walnuts, explains Rashi at the very top, not walnuts, gallnuts with a G, gallnuts. Gallnuts are used in the tanning of various hides, especially to go and use them for cloth, as a cloth for documents or for Sefer Torah and the like. Okay, anyway, Aftzi apparently was an important commodity, and he says, I gave you 100 kavim, and remember, the kaimi b'shita shita. At the time I gave it to you, the price was 6 zuz per aftzi, and since or per kav, and since I gave you 100 kavim, 6 times 100 is 600. So I paid you in full. What do you want from my life? Amalei, so he told him, la barba arba havakaimi. Don't you remember it was not 6 per kav, but it was 4 zuz a kav, and so therefore, maskim, you gave me 400. You still owe me 200. Also Trey Sadi. And then the Malva brought in two Edom, the Omru. They apparently didn't know anything about the Halva, but they knew the market prices, and they said, in Barbu Arbu Avakaimi. Like the Malva said, it was not 6 per kav, it was 4 per kav. And in fact, the Malva therefore is out 200. Omer Rava Huxle Kafron. We are not going to allow for the Loive to go and make a shvua now, because clearly he was a koifer. In other words, he certainly gave a lie. He said a lie. He said that it was 6, and these two Edom said that it was 4. So he's going against the Edom. Therefore, since he won't be able to go make a shvua, he'll have to pay. So Rav Bar Chama now says to Rava, one second, Amr, didn't you yourself say Amris? If you look back on the Amud Beis of yesterday, the last two lines, Amalei Rava Kol Milza Dele Ramya Leide Inish Labadate. You said it yourself, that anything that a person doesn't put his whole focus on, it's very easy for him to go and have a fleeting thought in and out. He didn't really put too much attention to it. So it could very well be that this fellow who gave you back the 100 kavim, maybe in fact it slipped his mind, it really was 4, and in fact, says Rashi, maybe he paid you 400. This is what he was saying. The loiva was saying, okay, so it was 4. So I only paid you 400. But guess what? I gave you 200 on the side as petty cash. I gave you the change. See if you look at Rashi.
That's not what he's saying, though. He's just saying I paid you this.
Okay, so let's go and see the Rashi. Starting on the first line, I see. Mal v'sahari darbu arbu kaimi. And therefore he says, v'tavei amasayim, you owe me the extra 200. V'ze'oim e'praticha. I don't really remember this story. If I didn't go and give you 600 and afatzim and gallnuts, then I gave you 400 plus another 200. And I wasn't really giving the matter that much concentration, that much thought. I just remembered I paid you off and I let and migate vaita. Says Rashi, v'leirami alei de'inish, v'haynami loirami alei. He also didn't remember exactly all the details. Loimar be'ez inyan param. How exactly he paid him off. El Paritis is stomach. He remembered he took care of this choiv, paid in full and finished, and he continued his business otherwise. Hilkach Leinizka, that's why he didn't remember. Vesavar Shekach Hashar. He thought that, how did he pay him? That he paid him only the 100 kavim of Afatzim, and the Shar was 6, and was 600. Velehichzik Kafran, the Nishba Shemparim Mikol Mokam. There's no reason why he can't go and make a shvur. That regardless whether they paid you in afatzim or whether they paid you in cash, I took care of you and I'm done, so what do you want from my life? So therefore, Rami Bar Chama says to Rava, I disagree. He's not Huchsa Kafrin for that. Okay, he didn't, doesn't remember all the details, but he remembers, he wrote down on his books, paid in full. Amli Rava, Rava says, Rama Chama, with all due respect. Katsusa Detara Midka Dechiri Inchi. About many things you can go and say that the person wasn't exactly focusing on this detail and that detail. But this person who paid in Afotzim, in Golnuts, presumably he is in the market to buy and sell or whatever Golnuts. So people remember the prices. People remember what the market price, which was set forth in the Wall Street Journal or which was well known in the marketplace. It's not the type of thing that people treat lightly. They want to know, are they going to make a profit? Are they going to make a loss if they buy, if they sell? So people remember things of that nature. So this is not the type of thing that would qualify for what Rami Bar Chama said, Kol Miltzud L'Rami Alei Inish. And here people, Yo Ram Alei Inish. And therefore, his Huchsa Kafron, we don't trust him. He cannot go and make a Shvua to protect himself. He's going to have to pay the additional 200. The person says to a chaver. So now we finish the afsi, we're on to the sitroi, which is the next case.
We don't say that the claimant, the toveya, makes the shua and note them. We say he has to pay without any shua whatsoever because he's who's a kafirin.
What you're saying is maybe this should be one of those that he's choshed al shua.
And therefore it switches to.
Choshed al shua is normally that he has already made false shuas in the past. I don't know that this person has a reputation of false shvuas. This is apparently the first time he ever had a loan where there was any dispute. And on this particular loan, he said, I paid you in full. I don't remember exactly. Blah, 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 blah. So I don't know that that would rise to the level that he'd be choshel al shvua, that we would take the shvua away from him and give it to the other one. Exactly. Ha'ud yamalei l'chavre. Person says to his chavre, Havli me'ezuzi demasik nebach. Go and give me the 100 that I lent you. Here's the shtar. You see the shtar? It's right in front of you. You owe me 100. Oh, Malay Pratich, I paid you. What do you mean I paid you? Don't you remember yesterday? I paid you the whole thing. Oh, Malay Hano Sitro Ninu. He says, it's taki true you paid me, but that was for another loan. That was for Gada for a Halvo Alper. Paid me in full, that's true. But this shtar is a different loan. As you know, from time to time you needed money, so you kept on borrowing money from time to time. The money that you paid me back yesterday or last week, that was Sitroi. Sitroi means another shtar, another loan, another halva. It's not this one. This is the shtar, and you owe it to me.
Sitra Acher,
okay. That's not what he means over here.
I know you are.
A pun. Yeah, I understand. Oh, my Rav Nachman, Isra Shtara. Rav Nachman says, this shtar has a shtikul reyesa. It's weakened. What do you mean it's weakened? Since the Malva agrees, yes, that the Loiva paid, even though he claimed, he didn't pay me for this one, he paid me for another Halva. There was a loan that was given, Balpela Moshul, for another piece of paper, but not this one. If once you agree that you got paid on something, Chamoira, maybe it was Taka on this shtar, are you going to ask, why is this shtar still extant? Because it's very possible that the Loiva said to the Malva, can you give back the shtar? I don't have it with me, I'll give it back to you tomorrow, I'll give it back to you next week, it's in the safe. The bank is closed today, it's almost Juneteenth, whatever it happens to be, I can't get it, but I'll get it to you, Metishim. And then instead of getting it to him, then a day later, a week later, a month later, he says, oh, by the way, what about this shtar? And either innocently he forgot that the other person had paid on it, or not innocently, but Rav Nachman says, doesn't pass the smell test. If he's holding on to the shtar and he agreed that he recently got paid on a loan, and the loan was for the same amount, it's a good possibility this was Taka the shtar for that loan, and it's been paid. Rapapa Maloy is the shtar. No. The fact that he holds the shtar, after all, if the loive didn't insist on getting the shtar at the time of payment, at the very least he should have gotten a receipt. He should have gotten two edim that he paid. I think that this shtar is a good shtar, and it's Taka Sidroi Ninu, and Rapapa says, Loy is the shtar. Before we find out what the psak is in our case, do we follow Rav Nachman or Rav Papa? The Gemara is now going to ask a stira between this Rav Papa and another halacha that Rav Papa paskind, which l'chayre is at odds. Freitim at Rav Papa, maishno miyahu. Don't you remember that other case that Rav Papa had? What was that other case? Domele the chape. A person said to his chape, Havli mei ezuzi masik nebach. You owe me $100. V'hashtar, and here's a shtar. Amalei, he told him. Now this next part of the Gemara is a little bit more detailed and intricate than what we've had before. Amalei Lav, don't you remember Lav Aturi Yehavisli, the Osis, the Savis, Amas Chosa, the Kabilis Zuzach? Don't you remember? In fact, look up the Shtar. And the Shtar says in it that the reason why you were lending me the $100 wasn't just a simple, plain loan. It was really more in the form of a Heter Iska. And that both of us were going to join in a partnership to buy Shvarim, oxen, to go and take those oxen to the Shoichet to go and Shecht, to go and sell meat in the marketplace. And the sale of the meat would have been enough not only to pay off the loan, but also to allow for a certain allocation of profits. And of course, they did it in such a way that there shouldn't be a ribbis situation. But that was, therefore, a more intricate financial transaction as opposed to just a simple loan. And don't you remember, he told him, that you got paid. Okay, so first let's go through the language. Lavaturi Yehavisli, don't you remember that you gave me the money? The Loiv is speaking now to the Malva. Don't you remember you gave me the money so that I should go and buy Shvarim in the market? And then you came, Vesivis, and you sat down on Maschosa. Rashi says Maschosa means the Shlachtos, the place where the Shochtim come and shecht the animals. You were sitting there. And then, Baruch Hashem, the animals turned out to be Shleimois and Nishkatreifois, and they sold to the meat. They didn't sold the meat, but they sold them in the marketplace, and Baruch Hashem, money came in, and you got paid for your portion of this transaction. The Omalei, and the Malva says to him, Hanoi Citroen, Citroenino. It's taka true that I got paid from the sale of the meat, but that was really not on that loan, which is reflected on this shtar that I'm asking you to go and pay. That was really for a pre-existing loan from a year ago, or from 6 months ago, unrelated to this transaction. Yes, it's krada how you were able to go and get me the money. It got from the cash flow from the sale of the meat. Maybe that's the reason why he sat there, to make sure he gets that money to go and pay for either the pre-existing loan or maybe for this transaction. He wanted to make sure that the loiva doesn't say not enough money came in, or the money didn't come in yet, or pay in installments, or pay tomorrow. So that's why it was there, and he got the payment. But the point is that we have now a malva that says that this shtar, which refers to this financial transaction, to this iska, but he says it's not paid. I have edim that you got paid there in the marketplace. You don't have to have edim. I agree I got paid in the marketplace, but not for this transaction, for a pre-existing loan from somewhere else, and that's what I got the payment for. The Amar Papa is Rishtar. Doesn't pass the smell test. This shtar has a reyes in it. After all, he's agreeing that he got paid, but it wasn't on this shtar. It wasn't for this transaction. I got paid from the sale of the meat. That's true, from those proceeds. But those proceeds paid not for this transaction, but for another loan which took place at another time. Is Rishtar. So now, Frank Dimara, in our case, Rav Papa said, Loi is Rishtar. In this case, our Papa said, Isrishtar. And in both cases, the Malvim said, yes, I got paid recently by the Loiva, but it was Citroenino. Frank Dimara Maishna, what's the difference between the first Rav Papa in our case and the Rav Papa in the case of the sale of the Shvarim? Everything Gemara says, Rav Papa, it's a very, very easy distinction. Kimen de ka'omar aturi havasli. Umeturi shaklis. Isrishtar. In the case of this transaction, this iska, when we bought the shvarim, you're masking that the money came in, or you loaned the money, not really as a loan, but as an investment in this transaction. And you agree that you receive the proceeds from the sale of the shvarim, to go and say, yeah, but the proceeds that I received was not for this shtar, which is a shtar which reflects this iska, but rather for Citroenino. This is shver tzizong, isra shtar. I swear to Shah. Are you sure? Zoktimara. Hoch, but in our case, aim is Citroenino. It could very well be that it's Citroenino. And in fact, what's the rye that it's Citroenino? Because he still is holding on to the shtar. If in fact the shtar had been paid, why wouldn't the loiva demand getting the shtar and tearing it up and writing on it paid in full? Or at least getting a receipt, or at least getting aid or something. So therefore, in our case, it passes the smell test, but in the other case, it doesn't. A very simple distinction between the two cases, says Rav Papa. Fine. So now that we have answered that question, but let's go back to our case. where there was no sale of shvarim and meat and heter iska. Simple case. The malva agrees, yes, I did get paid, but I didn't get paid on vishtar. It was sitroi ninu. It was another loan. So my havila, how do we paskin? So we're going to have now a machlekes. Rav Papi Omar, loy is vishtar. Rav Sheshi B'rei Rav Idi Omar, is vishtar. And the halacha is rishtara. That in fact there is a reyes in the shtar, and for the malva to go and say that's a trayin inu, shver. However, v'hani mila depari be'api sahadi v'loy itker le'shtara. That's talking about a case. Even if the payment took place in front of Edim, and they didn't remember to go and ask for the shtar to be torn up or to be delivered to the loyve, avol pari ben didei l'didei, if it was a private payment between the malva and the loyva, where the loyva paid the malva, there were no edim involved, and the malva concedes, yes, you did pay me, but it was sitroinenu. Migud yachal ameimer, lahoy dvar me'oilam. He theoretically had a migoy. The migoy could have been that instead of admitting that the loyva paid him the $100, and he's now claiming, yeah, but that was for sitroinenu, he could have denied the whole thing. He could have said, I don't know what you're talking about. You didn't pay me anything. You haven't paid me a penny in the last 20 years. I haven't gotten anything. Since he is conceding that he did receive the payment, he didn't have to. So that was a statement that was against his own personal financial interest. Shkoyach. Yochanan Lameim is a drawing in a migo that he could have had a much better taina. We'll believe him on the lesser taina of Sitroinin. Like the famous case of Avimi B'Rei D'Ravo, where you had almost an identical situation. Where did that take place? In Masechtas Ksuvis. Rashi doesn't bring the details. He just tells us, if you want to look it up. So Rashi, about quarter down the Omud, Avimi B'Rei D'Ravo Garsinan, Boom Masechtas Ksuvis, Perekakoizav Tapehei, Demotekei Maisel Yoda. They had a similar story, where the person said, pay me. He said, I already paid you, but that was Sitroi Ninu. So just like over there, we had that case, and if it was a payment, bein didei lididei, no one was present. So the malv is being gracious, and he's saying, yes, you paid me, but that was for another loan. He is believed, meager, that he could have said, lehoye devar mi oilam, you never paid me at all, and I still have the shtar, pay up. New case. Ahud yom alei v'chavre, mehem nisli kol emis di amris li loy parana. The loyve is being very gracious to the malv. At the time of the original loan, says the loyva to the malva, you have nothing to worry about. If I ever deny that I paid, and you say, you didn't pay, automatically I believe you, even at the cost of perhaps having to pay a second time. Because whatever you say, I will not challenge it, I believe it. So he told him at the time of the loan, you are believed by me, to me. Any time that you say, leparana, don't worry, I'll pay. What happened? Ozel pari bi api sahadi. Eventually the loyva did pay on the loan in front of two edim. And the two edim are here and say, yes, he paid. And the malva says, don't you remember what you said? Written in the shtar, or you have edis, that you said that if I make a demand and you deny it, you're going to pay it anyway? No, you should pay it anyway. Abai v'ramayam tervayu ohemnei. Didn't the loyve give that nemunis to the malva, even though the two edim that he paid, shouldn't he have to pay again? Because that's what he told her. That was the stipulation. Maskel rapapa, dehi dehemne tvei mi navshe, tvei mi saadi mi hemne, says rapapa, when he said that I will not challenge when you say loy parana, that just means if the two of us together, if our memories have a conflict, your memory is that I did not pay. My recollection is that I did pay, I'm not going to challenge you. If you said I didn't pay, I accept it. However, said Rav Papa, did he mean to say that if two Edom, or for instance, 100 Edom were to come and say that you paid, did you mean even in that case that you're not going to challenge and you're not going to deny payment by that you're going to go and say, yes, the Malv is right, and I'm going to go and pay over again? That's not Mistaver. What he meant to say is, between you and me, if there's no other aid, there's no other
evidence,
no stories, no nothing, no receipts, then I give you full nemanis. But if they're two aidim, why should he go and give the full nemanis? And therefore, it says, Maskur Apop, and the Hidahim, the Tvei Minavshe, Tvei Misadi, Mi Hemnei. And therefore, in this case, says Rav Papa, he would not have to pay. You can rely on the two eitim. So now the Gemara gives us a similar but a different case. That was, by the way, the Behem Nusa that we had in the Siman of yesterday. Now we're going on to the Beit Rei. Ha'ud Yomalei L'chavri, Mehem Nesliki Beit Rei. The Loive says to the Malve, I give you Ne'emonis as if you are two eitim yourself. So it's similar to the previous case, but in the previous case he didn't say mehemnesli kibetrei, he just said mehemnesli kol emis amrisli piparana. And here he's saying that if you taina that I didn't pay you, I give you nemonis as if you're two eitim. Okay, guess what happened? Ozel pari be'apitlasa. Now he, the loive, didn't pay in front of two, he paid in front of three people. Hamra papa. He just said, I give you nemonis like two people. But he didn't say, give nemonis like three people. And so therefore, if three people... Sorry?
He tricked him. He outwitted him.
Basically. Well, we'll see in a moment. So therefore, if you...
Three is better, it cannot be worse than two.
Certainly not only worse, but he's saying that three is even better than two. Even though I said that you have nemonis like two, but I have three Adam that said... I pay, and so therefore I don't want to pay again. Sorry? Very good. So that what you're all alluding to is the next one. Omer Rav Huna bar Rishul Rav Papa. Eimad Yamar Rabbanan Di Azlinim Basar Roiv Deyoyz. When do you say that you would prefer three over two, or even give more credibility to three rather than just two? Hanimilinyan Umdana. That's when you're talking about a situation where you need to do an appraisal on a particular item. The Kamad and Afisha Bekitvei. It's better to have three appraisers rather than two appraisers, because three appraisers bring all of their background and wisdom and knowledge, etc. So the more the merrier, let them try to work it out. I would believe three appraisers more than two appraisers. Avla Inyan Edis, Meya Ketreya Trey Kemeya. 100 is like two, 2 is like 100. So therefore.
But there's two.
He has three equivalent of two.
But if he has Edim, then it's...
You're wondering what you're saying is correct. But since the Loiva said to the Malva, I will believe you as if you were two Edim, or since Trey Kameh make a Trey, as if you are three Edim, so he is three Edim, because I authorized him, I empowered him like three Edim, and I have now three Edim, so it's three against three.
But he didn't say like three Edim, he said like two. The fact that he put a number on it and brought three, he's defeating this trap door for the Malva to claim twice.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he said Kibetra, he didn't say I'll trust you like Edim. I trust you like two.
So you think the three is better than two?
Because he said two.
That's Rav Papa. Very good. That's why Omer Rav Papa Kibetra Hemne, he gave him credibility like two. That's fine. But not like three. And so therefore three is more than two. That's why Rav Papa says we should go and believe these three Edim, and he should be potter from having to repay. Rav Huna bar Rishu disagreed. But now you'll see that the Gemara is going to have a Lishna Achrona, and you're going to be very happy with Lishna Achrona. Ahud Yom Lelechavrei, Mehemnes Li Kibetrei, Kol Emes Di Amres Li Parana. Oh, same fact pattern. Ozel Bar, this is a Lishna Achrona, it's just a different version. Ozel Bar Be'abit Klas, he paid him in front of three. Okay. Omra Papa, Kibetrei Hemne, Kibetlas Eloi Hemne. So far, word for word, the same. Maskler Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua, Trei Kimeya Umeya Kitrei. Again, he didn't go through the whole Umdana, but he says, what difference does it make? Two, three, three, two. Two is like 100, 100 is like two. It's all the same. Why are you saying, Rav Papa, that three is better than two? However, the Amale Kibet Lasa, the Ozl Pare, the Ape Be'arba. What happens if the Loive said to the Malva, not that I give you credibility and weight of evidence as if you're two, but as if you're three people, and now he pays in front of four. Here everybody would agree that four is better than three. Meaning that if he only said you have the status like two, so then I could easily see a machloikis where the three is better than two. Why? Because on the one hand he said two and I brought three. On the other hand, since three only has a chashivas when you're talking about umdana, but otherwise, trei kameya make a trei doesn't make a difference whether you brought three adam, five adam, ten adam. You told him you have the status like two adam, so two adam against five adam, it's all the same. Two against two, trei kameya make a trei. However, if he didn't say you have the nemonis like two, you have the nemonis like three, three is not a parish of Edis. He's really saying three people. It's
a Bezdin, actually.
Okay, good. He didn't mention Bezdin. What he's saying is, okay, see, cross out three and four, make it four and five.
Okay.
So then you wouldn't have a Bezdin situation. He said, by saying that you have nemunis like three, what he's trying to say is, I endow you with tremendous nemunis, more than and unrelated to Edus. Because for Edus, I would just say two. By saying three, I'm endowing you with even more than two Edus. Ah, but he's now going into Deus, not in terms of Edus. Notice that Deus and Edus are the same Oisius, but they're in reverse. Anyway, but the point is, since he endowed him with, when the one is like three, if four come on the scene, he only gave you three, I didn't give you four. Four out of three, according to everybody. Here I wouldn't say, Trey Kamei Meik Trey, because of the fact that he didn't talk about Trey, he talked about three. Oh, you have status like three, but I brought four Edim, four is better than three. Okay, with this we concluded that series of Mises and the Simon that we started off with yesterday. But now we go back to the Mishnah. In the Mishnah it says at the end, Ein Nishboin Al Tanis Chedish Shoit Cotton, the Ein Mashbien Esa Cotton. What does that mean? What happens if a cotton comes to you and says, you owe me $100, and the person is either a koifer bakoil, by shvu assesses, or he's a moed b'mikzas, I don't owe you $100, I only owe you $50. He does not have to make a shvu. Ein nishbon al tainas chedesh shoyt v'kotten. We focused on the cotton, but of course chedesh v'shoyt has the same din. My timer, why don't you have to make a shvu when the cotton says you owe me $100 and you agreed to $50? On my krot says, Naposki yitain ish el re'eyu kesef oy kelem nishmoy. Veinasinas cotton klum, since the Torah uses the expression ish, ish is lemaitis a cotton who hasn't gotten to 13, so he's not an ish yet. So therefore, you do not have to make a shvuah on his taina. Mele chedesh v'katan and shoyt is the same category as the katan. Aval, but the Mishnah concludes, nishboin lekatan uli hegdish. We'll talk about hegdish shortly, but the Gemara is bothered by, you just said now 3 moments ago, ein nishboin al tainas katan, and then the Mishnah finishes off, al nishboin lekatan. Make up your mind, Fetimor Mamas Reisha. Ein nishbon al tanas chedesh shoyt v'katan. And here you're saying nishbon the cotton. You are nisht. So Gemara is going to give two terutz. First there it says Omer Abba Omer Rav v'ba v'taynes oviv v'Reb Elezer ben Yaakovi. It depends whether the cotton is talking about his own mammon that you took from me, that you borrowed from me, that I gave you a pikadon. That's one situation. And the other situation when he's coming, when he's just filling the shoes of his father, meaning the father passed away, left over notes in his machberes, or notes in terms of promissory notes, and he's saying, now, you owed money to my father. See, look what it says, etc., etc. Ah, in that case, when it's not his own taina, but he's coming to fulfill the father's financial affairs, then he's just like a shliach of the father who passed away. And here you do have to be nishba. And the Gemara is going to say a reason why you have to be nishba is because the whole reason why we say that you're part of a megnishwa, ki ten ish el riyel. Guess what? Here an ish gave the money, the ish being the father. So then you would be nishba al tainisav. And the Gemara explains for Elizabeth and Yaakov, but in fact it's a machloikis tanoim, the sign you learn to the price of Elizabeth and Yaakov oimen. But sometimes she'odem nishba al tainis atzmai. Now, before we continue on the surface, what it sounds like is there was no tayon nitan. Just a person comes over to a young lad and he says to him, "I want you to know, I owe you money," and nevertheless, he's going to have to go and make a shvur. Ketzad, what is that situation? Amaloi mana levicha biyadi ve'chaltiv pras. You have a very nice person. I don't want to use the term Good Samaritan because the brother Barry gets very upset about that. So as a Boy Scout, a good scout, a nice fellow, and he says to a young lad, I want you to know, I owed money to your father, but I already paid him half of that amount. I owed him 100, and I paid him already 50 during his lifetime, and I only owe 50 remaining. So what did Reb Elezer ben Yaakov say? Harizanishba, make a shvur like a regular moed b'mitzvah. Exactly. Vizel, and that's the situation that we meant when we said Shinishbal Tainas Atzmai, because he was the one that fessed up. He was the
raised
one that
the issue.
He was the ones that raised the issue. The cotton didn't know anything about it. He has to make a Shuah Tainas Atzmai. I respectfully disagree with Lezim and Yaakov. Since the
cotton,
he didn't have to say anything. He could have not a migui lahadam. Migui could have kept his mouth quiet, and nobody of the Yisraelim knew anything about this. So he's a good guy that he's saying that I owe you, that I owed your father 100, and I'm now owing you only 50 because I already paid. So if anything, we should go and give him shlishi, give him should give him after yoina. We should go and give him a kuvit at the next annual Malav Malka. He's such a wonderful guy. He's a meshavet. He's going to go and put on him a shvur. Come on. You should thank him for being moida that he owes a 50, not going and putting a shvur on him. Anyway, like a meshavet upat. So we have a machlekes. So the Gemara says that therefore our Mishnah is not talking about when he was nishba al tanis atzmai. It means that the cotton was nishba, not the cotton was nishba. The cotton asked for the money. Okay, so let's wait another moment. The Gemara is going to fill in the blank. Frank Timor of Lezman Yaakov Lesle Meshav obeyed the potter. The Chayr of Lezman Yaakov should also agree to the Chacham that if a person is tainus atzmai, then avadi your potter. He's a good skite, as you say. Omer Rav Sarav says, even though the Lashon HaBraisa is that Pa'om Shodom Nishwal Tanis atzmai, it really is talking about Bishatuanai Kotter. A cotton came to this individual and said that I was looking through my father's papers and I saw that you owe him $100. What do you say to that? And the person says, it's true, I owed him $100, but I want you to know I already prepaid $50 of the $100. And so therefore, it's not a Meshav Aveda situation where he's a good guy. He's really responding to the taina of the cotton. Frank Timara, cotton for Amris. Don't you remember what we said at the beginning of the Braisa? Or going back to our Mishnah, for Amris ain nishbo and al tainas chayr shoyt v'cotton. We don't go and make a shvur, even though the cotton is saying that you owe me money. You ignore that for purpose of shvuas. You'll have to wait until it becomes bar mitzvah, and then we'll work out the logistics and the dinim and the shvuas. But in the meantime, cotton your butt, and you're saying that that's the pshat now in the Mishnah, that the Mishnah is talking about when the cotton came and said, "You owe me the money from my father's records." So I mean, mashmin the cotton. Every mother oilam godol. Really, it's talking about it was not a cotton; it was really a god. And that's the reason why the Mishnah says at the end, Nishboin le cotton, we mean a god. So why do you call him a cotton if he's a god? Because when it comes to his father's records, since this godl was not involved with his father's financial matters, he was sitting and learning in yeshiva, he knows nothing about his father's business, so therefore, in that sense, although he's not a biological cotton, he's a lachi cotton. And therefore, that's why the Mishnah says, Nishboin the cotton. We're talking about a godol, not really a cotton, but he's wearing a cotton's hat because he didn't know the affairs of his father.
What was the expression Yiddish, halachic cotton?
Halachic cotton. It's not a Yiddish expression. Halachic is English.
Oh.
So he's not a biological or biographic cotton, and a biography. Biological, you know that word. See, he's not 13 yet, he's only 12. This godol is already 15 or 20 or 25. See, biologically, he happens to be a god. But halachically...
Halachically,
he's a halachic.
I hear the first syllable.
No problem, it's okay.
The auditioning is silent.
We love you, it's fine.
Obviously.
Oh, we're not finished yet. Wait, we're still in the middle of the story. Right, Demara, Ihachi, you're telling me that that's pshat in the Mishnah, and that's pshat in Reb Elazar ben Yaakov. The reason why Reb Elazar ben Yaakov doesn't agree that he's a Meshav Aveda, because he wasn't a good guy that he came on his own, but rather it was a cotton or a god, or he's just responding to a clay. So Frank Timori Hachi, Tainis Atzmoy, going back in the Braisa, Pom Shonim Nishbal Tainis Atzmoy, wasn't Tainis Atzmoy, Tainis Achayimi, somebody was demanding payment. This Godel, who has a dinner of Halachik Kotzon, he was demanding payment, so he is Tainis Achayimi. So Timora, what the Braisa means is, Pom Shonim Nishbal Al Hoidoas Atzmoy. It was Taka Tainis Achayim, you're right, the Godel, who's asking for payment on behalf of his father who passed away, but he was Moida Bi Atzmoy. And that's what we mean. Adam Shadam Nishbal Tanis Atzmai. Frank Timar, give me a break. Kulu Tanis Achayim. Kulu Nami Tanis Achayim Vaidos Atzmai Ninu. Why are you saying, sometimes a person is Nishba Al Tanis Atzmai? If you're talking about that it's not Tanis Atzmai, so it does Atzmai, that's every time when you have either a Moida Mixes case or you have an Eid Echad case, or Midrabanan if you have a case of Rav Nachman with Ashkenaz Esses, it's always because somebody is being towing, somebody is being kofer, either partially or totally, so what is this pa'amim? This is standard, this is a standard case. Nino. Ella says, you know what, forget about what I said before. El bederaba kamiflihi. The machloikis in the brayse between Rav Elazar ben Yaakov and the Rabbanan is in the famous memra of Rabba. Why is it so famous? Because you have that at the very beginning of Bamitzia on Daf Gimel. So anybody that learned the beginning of Bamitzia, presumably even if he didn't get to the end of the perek, but at least hopefully he got to Daf Gimel. So what does it say there? Yomer Rabba. Rabba is asking an obvious question. A person is a koifer bakoil. He says, I don't owe you a penny, zero, gunisht. Minatoyri does not have to make a shvur. On the other hand, if he says, I owe you 50, and I paid you 50, then he does have to make a shvur. The chorit should be the other way around. After all, the moidim mixes, in a sense, he's a nice guy. He says, yeah, I don't owe you 100, but I owe you 50. No, make a shvur. So certainly the person's koifer bakoil, I don't owe you anything. He should have to make a shvur gedoyla, even a greater shvur. I mean, this person is denying everything. So why would you say that by koifer bakoil he's butter, and a moidim mixes he's chayiv? So Trab, I'll tell you. I'm going to tell you, human, this is now a more psychology and sociology. Normally, a person would never be meyis panim. After all, the guy gave him money to go and afterwards brazenly say, nah, he didn't pay me a penny. Come on. Abisula idolkeit. Azah chutzpah, azah he'oza. Who would have that today? Ain't other meyis panim of Nibal Chayv. V'haybekuli by the lichbere. He really wanted to be koifer everything. Why? Either because he's a bad guy or because he didn't have the money. So he really wanted to be koifer bakoy. Why wasn't he kaifer? Like we just said, Mishum Deinemeis Pandav Nebal Choyva. He doesn't have the heart, he doesn't have the guts to be such a chutzpinyak to say, I don't owe you anything. And therefore, really, he should be Moida Hakal, because after all, the guy did him a toy, he gave him $100, he should be Moida. So why Taka is he not being Moida? Not because he's a bad guy. He's trying to use delaying tactics. So I don't have all the money now. I'm embarrassed to go and say that, because if I say, yes, I owe you the full 100, maybe the Bezin will give me a 24-hour deadline. I have to go and pay. And chanish the geld. And so therefore, you know what I'm going to do? Half of the money I can scrape together and pay off. And Mir Tashem, in 6 months, a year from now, when I get the other $50, I'll pay him the rest of it. So that's why he's moid of a mixes. Rahman Omar. We're not going to let him try to get scot-free on the other 50, but rather put a shvu on him. He's going to have to be moida on the full amount, and somehow or other he's going to have to go and scrape together and work out a deal to give him the full $100. Ah, so that's the way these things work. Min ha-Torah. If you want, you can sit over there and you have more room. And this way we could be panim al-panim, Adam.
The fine day.
Okay, wonderful. But this is separate, unrelated. Would you like some? Okay, so let's continue on. Zok the Gemara. So now the question is, we see that the reason why a person has to make a shvur b'moidim and mikzas is because ein odem meis panim b'mei bal choyvei. Zok the Gemara. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Sovar. Lo ishna boi v'lo ishna b'bnoi einoi meis. This svara of Ein Odem Meis Panav doesn't only apply to the father who originally gave him the loan. Even though never the father passed away, he's on the Olam Emes, and now his son is filling his shoes and is asking for payment of that existing loan, that pre-existing loan. A person not Meis Panav against him either. So now when he is Moide, and he's a regular Moide Mixas, even though it's not a Moide Mixas to the father, but it's a Moide Mixas to the son. And the son is just occupying the place of his father. Just like the father, you don't go and say, oh, he agreed to 50, let's give him an award, let's give him after yoin in the middle of the week. He's a Meshav Aveda. You don't say he's a Meshav Aveda. So Gabi the son, you also don't say Meshav Aveda. Rabbanan Savri, befun of Udein and Meis. So the father, he would never be Meis. The father lends him the money. Of Benoi, the Benoi doesn't really know, did he lend him or not lend him money? He's Meis, a chutzpenik, and he says, no, I never knew your father. I didn't take money from your father. I wouldn't take money from your father. Whatever. Since he was not Meis, and he said, it's taka true, I took a loan of 100, but I paid him 50, Meishu Avedu, and that's why he's off the hook. Aha. Okay, so bottom line is, says our Gemara, now we understand Pshat in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about a cotton, and the cotton is now asking for funds on behalf of his father. In the case when he would be asking funds on his own behalf, in other words, had he said, I, the cotton, the 10-year-old, the 12-year-old, I lent $100 to Yankel, and now Yankel comes and says, it's true you lent me 100, but I already paid you 50. Normally it would be a din of moedim mitzvahs, says our Mishnah. Since it says in the Mishnah, since it says in the Pasuk, he's an ish, kesefoy kalim, and erzach nishkan ish, he's only a cotton, so therefore you do not have to go and make a shvuah. That was in the first case. Where does it say at the end of the Mishnah, Nishbar and the cotton? Oh, in our case, where the cotton was not coming on his own behalf, he's coming on behalf of his father. And he's saying that you owed money to the father. And it's going according to Reb Lezer ben Yaakov. The Reb Lezer ben Yaakov says, you don't call this a Meishav Aveda, because just like a person is not Meis Panav against the father, he wouldn't be Meis Panav against the son. That being the case, he's a traditional Moedim Mitzvah. He has to make a Shvuah in this case. That's where you have the Nishbar and the cotton. One could lechoidus say that for some reason Rashi on the second line says el b'derabe kamifli le'oilam b'te'anei cotton. Not that it's talking about a gadol, but it's talking about a cotton. It could be that Rashi, as you'll see from the Gemara in another moment, lechoidus doesn't make a difference between cotton and gadol. So it could be the reason why Rashi said b'te'anei cotton. You don't have to go to the extreme and say when the Mishnah says cotton that we mean a gadol. It could mean taka cotton. And nishbo in the cotton. We just said, a nishbo in the cotton, that is with the cotton's own money. But if you're talking about, if it's the father's money, since ain't on a made pun of the gabi the father, he won't be made pun of the gabi the son. And, I'm sorry?
We
don't have to command that it was a god.
He's a 15-year-old.
You know, exactly, you don't have to command to that. You can say it was a 12-year-old cotton, but still nishbo. Yeah.
But he shouldn't be cutting them off.
He shouldn't be cutting them off. Very good. You're brilliant. I want you to know I'm jealous that you're on the spot. Always on the cutting edge. Always the cutting edge. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara. So bottom line is we end for the Kasha and the Sefer. The Mishnah is going to Reb Lezer ben Yaakov. And Reb Lezer ben Yaakov said that in this type of situation where the son is representing the interest of the father who already passed away, ain't not a Meis Panim, it's not a Meis Shavedis, it's like a traditional Moedim Mixes, just like the vis-a-vis the father Moedim Mixes Yeshava, here vis-a-vis the son also Yeshava. And that's the end of the Teret. Freik Timora, could you Zetzain the center, the Sefer, the Mishnah that goes like Reb Lezer ben Yaakov, Hoktani Reisha, let's go back to the Reisha of the Mishnah. Mona li abba biyadcha. Your father owed me money. Ein lecha biyadi. Mona li abba biyadcha. The one that is the toein is a son of the father, and he's saying that you owed $100 to my father. Please pay me. Says the son. Ein lecha biyadi elechamishim dinner. I only owe 50. I owed at one time 100 to the father, but at this time I only owe 50 because I already paid off 50. What does it say in the Mishnah? Our Mishnah. Oh, so you see that we're talking about our situation where the father passed away and the son now is in the driver's seat and saying, go and pay me. He is moedim mikdash on 50. He's potter, he doesn't have to pay the other 50. He doesn't have to make a shvur. Why Menashe Meshav Avedu? So that's just like the Rabbanan, not like Reb Lezer ben Yaakov. So in one case, at the end of the Mishnah, saying that's Reb Lezer ben Yaakov speaking. And at the other part of the Mishnah, he's saying, it's not Reb Lezer ben Yaakov, it's the Rabbanan. So the Choyra, the Kemara could have answered, Ha Begadol, Ha Bekatan, that the Mishnah at the end, Ein Nishboi in the Katan, is talking about, what did the Mishnah say? Mishnah said Nishboi in the Katan, that's talking about that he was really a Gadol, but we call him a cotton. Masha Enkin in the ratio when we're saying potter, when it was a real cotton.
A 12-year-old. Or 15-year-old.
By the fact that the Gemara doesn't make that teret, doesn't give that teret, Zaytzechos, that the Gemara at the end doesn't distinguish between a real cotton or a halachic cotton. Both of them have the same din. That what the Kuntra Blezim and Yaakov, you have to go and pay, because ain ain may may is ponav, side to the cotton, side to the gadol, and according to the Rabbanan, no, you'd be potter from having to make a shvua. Why? So what does the Gemara answer to say that the Mishnah should stem the Reisha and the Sefer? Zok the Gemara, Hasam the Amar Barili, Hachad the Amar Barili. It depends on what was the strength of the conviction of the child who's asking payment for the debt owed to his father. In the Reisha, when he came over to the Loive and he says to him, I looked through the papers of my father. I'm not sure whether this was paid or not paid. It looks like, from what I'm reading, that this loan is still outstanding, and therefore, please go and pay it. And the Loive says, I want you to know that there was a loan of $100. I don't know if your father made a notation, but 3 days before I passed away, I paid off $50. And I intended to pay the other $50 a few weeks later, but unfortunately, in the meantime, he passed away, unrelated to our loan, Nebuch, cardiac arrest, and he passed away. Rahman l'Islam. Okay, so since it was Deloy Omar Barili, in such a case, he is a good skite, that he agreed that he owes the $50, Meshav Aveduhu, and he's parted from having to make a shvur. At the end of the Mishnah is talking about a situation where the cotton says, oh, I know very, very well. Before my father passed away, he gave me a list of all outstanding loans and all taxes that he owes or he doesn't owe and people that owe him refunds and this and that, the other thing. So I have a solid knowledge of what went on when my father's passed away and what the financial affairs and financial status was. So he comes mit a bari. Oh, he comes with a bari, says Reb Lezer ben Yaakov, even though he happens to be a cotton. The whole tour of Ein Nishba in the cotton is based on Ishvalei cotton. Guess what? The one that gave the Kesav HaKelim was an Ish, was my father. All I'm doing now is I'm putting in the papers the arguments on behalf of my father who passed away. In such a case, you have to go, and if he was Moedim and Mixis, that I owe you $50, or I owed your father $50, he's no different than if he said that to his father, because just like Eino Meis Pana Befnei Bal Choyvai, Eino Meis Pana Befnei Benoi, therefore, he will have to go and make a shvua after all.
So we classify here the tiniest body of the cotton that it comes with a certain evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Not only his knowledge, because his knowledge is furnished.
Exactly.
Well, so he has some raya, he has some evidence to back him up.
The Gemara doesn't say that. Gemara just simply
says the tiny of a body, body of a cotton is halakhically not valid, because it's a tiniest cotton. Body of Shemo is the same, unless he comes.
I hear you, Lanik.
If Storos
back up,
if the cotton came with his own loan and his own Storos and all the rest, then you're right. It says in our Mishnah, Ein Nishbon with cotton. Why Ein Nishbon with cotton? Because it said in the pasuk, he eats in Ish El Riel. Ish, the Ein Nesina is cotton clump, garnished.
And here, however,
fill the body. Here, however, the cotton is not saying that I gave the money. My father gave the money.
Yes.
So Kiyitin Ish is good. And there's no exclusion now, there's no miyat of Ainasina's cotton, because the giving was done by the father. Now who's going to present the evidence? Who's going to present the arguments? Father passed away, so now I'm presenting on behalf of father. And I know with conviction that you owed money to the father, because I was present, my father told me, I know my father's financial affairs. So even though normally you would say, Ainishbon the cotton, here, you're being nishba not to the cotton, you're being nishba to the father who passed away, who gave the money, so there is no exclusion for Nesina's cotton. And since he's saying barili, and since Reb Lezer ben Yaakov holds that Eino Ademei is punav not only b'fnei bal choyvai, but also b'fnei benoi, and he's a moedim mixes, so then it's a standard case of moedim mixes, he does have to make a shvua in this situation. That was teretz number one. Teretz number two is the teretz of Shmuel, which, if you will, is an easier teretz. We don't have that lengthy discussion. Shmuel Omar, lekotan lipora, minichse kotan, lehegdish lipora, minichse hegdish. What does that mean? Lekotan lipora, minichse kotan. When we're saying here at the end of the Mishnah, right, if you, the exact Lashon Gemara brought over here, av nishboin lekotan ulehegdish. Nishboin lekotan ulehegdish. What does that mean, Nishbon, the cotton of the Hegdish? Says the Gemara, the cotton, the pora, mi nichse cotton. Le Hegdish, li pora, mi nichse Hegdish. We're now talking about a reverse situation. We're not talking about that the cotton wants to get paid from the Godoil. but rather the godel wants to get paid from the cotton.
From the estate.
From the estate of the cotton's father. Because the cotton is nebuch hayosim, and he wants to collect from the estate of the father. There's no father, so there's only the cotton there. So he comes to the cotton with brand new documents that say on them, mamish brand new, but clear cut documents that say that the father owed the money. I want you to go and pay for your father. The question is, can you go and just bring the shtar or the edim or evidence and then get paid from the cotton? Or does, in fact, you have to add to all of that a shvua if you want to get paid from the cotton? And about that, there is a Mishnah, and we bring this halacha a few times in Shas. Ein nefroim min nichzi yasoimim ella b'shvua. Ah, so that's what we're talking about at the end of the Mishnah. When it says at the end of the Mishnah, nishboim the cotton, we're not talking about that the cotton is bringing a taina, pay me because you owed money to my father. But no, we're talking about the other way around. Someone wants to get paid from the cotton for the debt left by the father that passed away. Zokti Yomari Shmuel Omer li cotton li pora mi nichze cotton. If you want to go and collect from nichze cotton, by all means. But you're going to have to make a shvua. Similarly, le hegdish, you want to get paid from hegdish. We'll talk about that more later. Li pora mi nichze hegdish. You want to get paid from hegdish, you got to make a shvua. Again, le cotton li pora mi nichze cotton. Vreikti Yomari Tanina. That we had in Befeirish and Mishnah. Where do we have that Befeirish and Mishnah? We're going to have it in Miyat Hashem in 2 or 3 days from now. It's a Mishnah on Daf Memhei. May nichzi yisoyim liyipara ela bishvua. Shafrei timur atarti lamali. What do I need? 2 Mishnahs. Here on Daf Memdeis, or earlier, Lamtes, and then Vaitan Memhei. They're both saying the same thing according to you. That if you want to go and collect from nichzi yisoyim, you have to make a shvua. If you want to go and collect from Nichsi Yisayim, we always conjure up in our minds Yisayim, 3-year-olds, 5-year-olds, 8-year-olds, 10-year-olds. Nah, even if the person is 50 years old, his father passed away at the ripe old age of 120, he left over a son who was 85, Heshenishkakutin, as our godel, and he's very smart. And he's even 7 years older than the president. He could be president, can you imagine? And he's not chas v'sholem, he's no dementia. Mm-hmm. And he is now, you want to go and get money from him, even though gedolim are arguing one side and the other side, he has a shtar, he has edim, sorry, ein, nefroim, minichzi, soim, ele bishua. That's why you have to have 2 mishnahs. Only 1 mishnah was, ketanim. Ketanim don't know anything. That's the reason why you have to make a shvua. Even if it's gedolim, smart people, they did the due diligence in the research, makes no difference. You want to get nichzei samim, you have to make a shvua. By the way, Abaye says another halacha, bein leziburius. Normally, whenever you're going and collecting from in a halvot situation, from a loive, you're only entitled to attach beininis. However, since you're talking about nichzei samim, the chum went and put it 1 latch lower, and you can only collect from Ziburis, from the third,
cheapest.
From the cheapest of all of the seeds. So that's the terence, the gabi cotton. Okay, so now let's go back and understand. So how does this answer the question? When we said originally in the Mishnah that ein nishboin al tainas cotton, that's when the cotton comes as the plaintiff. He's the one that is making a taina, you owe me $100, even if the cotton is solid. Sound mind, brilliant kid, rocket scientist. Since he's still a cotton, ain't much being a, then is a din that you don't have to go and make a shvua vis-a-vis a tiny cotton. Why? Because who did the nesina? Ki yitain ish. Is exeris a cotton? Is an ish for a cotton? The cotton is demanding payment. You tell him, cotton, you're going to have to wait until you be bar mitzvah. I'm not going to make a shvua. I'm not mechuyev to make a shvua at this point. When it says at the end of the Mishnah, av nishboi li cotton, that's referring to when the cotton is, if you will, the defendant in the case, in surrogate's court, and it's a toin who wants to go and get property from the cotton. You want to get property from the cotton, you have good evidence, and find that not that the cotton owes you, but that the estate owes you. Yes, if you want to collect, you can, but you're going to have to make a shvua to be able to go and collect from the cotton. So therefore, these are 2 separate cases. When I was learning with my son, Ben Zion, he says, it's meduyek heitev. Because the lashon of the Mishnah is, on the first one we said, ein nishbon al tainas cotton. The cotton is coming with a taina. He's the plaintiff. If he's the plaintiff, we tell him, cotton, I'm not mechuyev shvuya until you become a got. And the sefer doesn't say al nishboin hal tainis cotton nishboin the katan, because the cotton didn't have any tainis. The cotton was the defendant. You want to go and take away from the defendant the cotton, some of his property to pay off a loan from his father, a debt of his father. So then nishboin likotan. Then if you want to take that property, well, you're going to have to make a shvuah to the cotton. The cotton really doesn't know what's going on. The cotton is not the plaintiff. He's just sitting there saying, if the Bezdin decides you can go and take the property, you know, what do I know? Yes, you can go and take the property, but first you have to make a shvuah to the cotton. Not because the cotton is saying a taina, because that's the locha, nishboin likotan. Getting back to our Gemara, we've now fe'enfed the stira in the Mishnah two ways. First, Teretz goes according to Blezim and Yaakov, Bari and not Bari. And the second case we're talking about, second Teretz of Shmuel, who is the one that's toying? Is it the cotton, or is the cotton, if you will, the defendant in this surrogate's court that you're trying to get from the estate of the father? Zok the Gemara. Now we talked about at the end of the Mishnah, not only Nishboy and the cotton, but it also says Lehegdish. What does that mean? Lehegdish lipara minichse hegdish. Now what means lipara minichse hegdish? Reuven owes money to Shimon. Shimon has property. Shimon is makdish some or all of his property to hegdish. Now Reuven wants to go and collect. Shimon says, Ainli, the chonish kagelt. You can go and get if you want from Mishubadim. Who is the Mishubadim over here? The Hegdish is the Mishubim, because I no longer own the property. Instead of selling it to the Kuchais, and you'd get from them, I give the property to Hegdish. Go and collect from Hegdish. So even though he has the best documents possible showing that the guy owes him the money, you want to be Nifrim and a Hegdish, you have to make a Shvua. Frank Timur? Yeah, it's good.
Does that even work? I thought Hegdish and Pesach are mafkim de shibur.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't there a principle that you makdish something, it destroys the lien?
It destroys the lien.
There's a mama. I don't see.
No, I know what you mean.
Yeah,
it could be that there's a difference between Kedushas Aguf and Kedushas Damim. We'd have to look up that other
Gemara.
It struck you immediately.
It's floating in my memory.
No problem. Zokti Martinina, didn't we learn Nechas Bishabanim? Lo Yifro. That Leifro Elabishvua, the same Mishnah later on, which we're going to have in Daf Mem Hei, that has the previous halacha, that if you want to collect from the Yisayim, you're going to have to make a Shvua. If you want to collect from Hegdish, you're also going to have to make a Shvua. Oh, so it says the halacha over there explicitly. Why do we need to repeat the same halacha twice? Both in our case and the Mishnah, you want to be collecting from Nichsi Hegdish, then you have to make a Shvua. And then it says on Daf Mem Hei again, you want to collect from Mishubadim. Mishubadim is Hedjit, but that includes also Hegdish. You also have to make a Shvua. Zok Timara, Umali Shvadim Hedjit, Umali Shvadim Likvoya. Why do we repeat the Locha twice? And for the more Itzrach, so could I to Chemin. Hedjit, who the Adam Oisikununya al Hedjit? Abel Hegdish, the Adam Oisikununya al Hegdish. I might have thought, Kamashmullah. Meaning, if I'd only learned that Mishnah Mem Hei, what means the Chosim Mishubadim? You have over here Reuven and Shimon. Shimon owes money to Reuven. And Shimon sold all of his properties to Yankel Beryl Shmerl. He has no properties left. And now, Shimon, however, had enough cash to pay off the debt of Reuven, paid even Stephen, no more halvah, everything's paid. And then Shimon, unfortunately, is either so impoverished, or because he's a scoundrel, he calls up Reuven, Reuven, I want to have a meeting, private, two eyes to two eyes. Bein Hoinayim, they call it in Israel. Bein Arba Einayim. Nobody else should be present. I have no more money to lend you. No, I'm not asking for a loan. Come together. They come together, private room, says Shimon to Reuven, I have a way that both of us can make money. How is that? Remember the money that you said I owed you, and you know I paid you. Yes, you paid me. It's fine. Let's go to the Kuchais and say that I did not pay you and I have no money, and then you're going to go and collect from those Kuchais. And after you turn from the Kuchais the $100 worth of property, we'll split it 50-50. You'll get 50. Hey, that's a great idea. So because we don't want to incentivize people to do such deception, such conspiracies, we say, you want to collect from the Kuchais? You always have to make a shvuah. I don't want to make shvuah. So this will be a good incentive for people not to do this type of criminality and deception. This fraud. Zok Timar, Basal Kadai Techamina, when would a person perpetrate such a fraud? A rich guy, what difference does it make? He won't know the difference if he has to pay off $100. And you and I, will, Baruch Hashem, will live nicely, at least for the next few weeks. We'll get $100. Yeah, great. Aval Hegdish, a person wouldn't have the chutzpah if Shimon gave the property to Hegdish. And now Shimon has paid off the choiv. And he says to Reuven, you know what? We could both make it real big time. We'll go over to the Gizbar. You'll say that the Shimon unfortunately has no money, and you'll collect $100 from the Gizbar, and then we'll split it 50-50. Come on. Eidon Amois Kanel Hedge. So I would think. Kamash Valan, unfortunately, there's some people that are either so desperate or so criminal that they'll make even a Kanunya ala Hegdish, and therefore both in our Mishnah and Dafmamei, we have to repeat the Halach. Frank Timor, is this really to Amar Rav Huna? Shchimra, Shigdish Kol Lechos. If you have a Shchimra, he's never on his deathbed. And he already was makdish all in the chas. And before he dies, the Omar mana l'plein biyadi. Rabbi says, I want you to know that I owe one mana to plein to Yaakov. And now, but unfortunately, I have no more funds because I was makdish kol nechasav. So what happens? He passes away. Ne'eman, he's believed when he said mana l'plein biyadi. Why? Because chazaka ain adam oisik kenunya ala hegdish. And therefore, we go to the gizba and we tell him, unfortunately, $100 you have to hand over to Pliny.
Wasn't this to be Makdish? Makdish Dover Shem Shalom.
Very good. And a person, maybe he's making a Kenunya. People don't make Kenunya al Hegdish. You just said now that people do a Kenunya al Hegdish. And for the money, Amri, Hani Mila Shchimra, the Ein Odom Choyte Veloy Loy, Avagabi Bori Vadei Chayshina. In the case of the Shchimra, who is he trying to go and benefit? Not himself. He's about to pass away. The doctors, Medarabunim, all said, get ready to say Shema Yisrael and get ready to say Vidui. We're calling the Chevra Kadisha. So he's not going to go and benefit by making Kenunya al-Hegdish. Maximum, he's going to go and benefit his Yarshim. Says Gemara, Ein Ozem Choyte V'loy Loy. Since he's not going to get any personal benefit, only his Yarshim, I don't say that a person is going to do that 5 minutes before he passes away. Of a Gaviabari, a person who is nice and strong and vibrant and etc., who hopes to live for another 50 years. Little does he know, but he's hoping to live for many more years. Vare Chashina do have to be Choshes, and unfortunately, maybe he's playing a trick against Hegdish, and that's why he does have to go and make a Shvuah if you want to collect from Hegdish. Okay, the next Mishnah until the Gemara is very, very simple. The Mishnah is telling us general rules, which we are pretty much familiar with, that these halachas of Shvuah and halachas of Kefil and Tashlum Metal Vehei and a whole bunch of other things really only pertain to Metaltlin, which belong to a Hedjoid. They do not pertain to Avodim, Shtoris, and Karkois, and Hegdeshus. What's the basis of this Mishnah? That'll be the Psukim here on the bottom of the Amid and the Psukim Mishnah, which you're going to learn tomorrow. It's all pretty much the same. Dr. Mishnah, even though we said that there is a Din of Shvuah like a Moedim Mitzis, no shvuah in the following cases: mitan avodim, mitan shtorois, mitan karkois, and egdeshes. No nishbon alein. Why not? We'll see in the Gemara momentarily. And also, ein ben tashlumi kefil. If a person stole an eved, a shtar, a karka, you don't pay kefil. You don't pay twice. For tashlumi arba v'chamish, you don't go and pay four or five times. Now, four or five times, as you know, is only by tvicha mechira on an animal. That doesn't apply to an eved, shtoris, a karkois. But it refers to the hegdeshois. If a person was makdish an animal, and then someone stole that hegdish animal, you do not, and after it's a tvicha mechira, he does not have to go and pay arbav chamish. Shoy mechinim in a nishba. If I gave to a shoy mechinim to hold for me a shtar or an eved or a hegdish, whatever, shoy mechinim, and then after that, he says at the end, when I want to get it back, he says, sorry, it was stolen, it was lost, no pshi involved. Normally you have to make a shvua. These items, you don't have to make a shvua. No yisachar, ain't a misham. No yisachar, if he says, gnev aved, you have to pay. Here, you don't have to pay. Reb Shimon says, when you're talking about hekdeshois, not all hekdeshes are created equally. Kod, shibishchai b'chriyusan, nishbon alei. Shainachai b'chriyusan, ain't nishbon alei. If a person went, for instance, and he stole a hekdesh animal, or he took it as a pikadon or whatever, and now he denies it, and normally we would say, oh, you have to go make a shvur, if you don't mind the mixes, or if he was a shoimer, etc. By kodshim we said, ein nishbon alein by hekdeshes. Depends, says Reb Shimon. If it happens to be the hekdesh which this person has a personal interest, a personal financial stake.
Dabar garmen mamon?
Exactly. How is it dabar garmen mamon? Because it's talking about a person that went and they gave a neder, not a nedava, Neder says, Hari Olai, I have to go and bring an oila which cost me $500. If you stole my oila, it's cash out of my pocket. That being the case, I have a financial interest, even though it's not a present financial interest. It's a dover hagoyrim lamami, it's kamamim dami, then nishba alein, it's as if it's his money, not Hegdish's money, it's if it's his money. However, shein chayim b'chrusin, if it's in the dover, if the animal gets lost or it's stolen, harizu, doesn't bother me. I don't have to go and bring a replacement animal, a nishba alein. Ramei oima, yesh tovam shein kikarkav eni kikarkav. Although on the surface it looks like karka, it does not have the din of karka. So tell me, give me an example.
Ketzer. Oh, yes.
I gave you 10 gefanim, 10 vines, which are t'unais, which had the clusters of grapes attached to it, and I want you to pay me back. You didn't give me 10, you only gave me 5. And we already said, why does the Rameya hold over here?
Since it's right to be harvested.
How do you know it's right to be harvested?
It says it's unus.
So Gemara is going to tell us it's talking about Nukimt in such a situation where it was ready to be harvested. And that's why I remember it holds chai. But the Gemara doesn't say that that's the definition of tunas. It could be still in its infancy. That these grapes are still very, very small. They're boiser, etc. And it's still going to take another 6 weeks until it grows or whatever. Next case. It's got to be a set amount, not approximations. Ketzer. When I gave you to be my shomer, I was going away for a month, and I asked you to go and provide security, go and watch over my house, and it was moly. Moly means that from the ground till the top, or somehow it was full of tvua or kalim or whatever it was. And I gave you a kiss, a wallet that was ultimately full of coins. And you're now giving me back a bias which is not full. And a kiss, a wallet which is not full. I don't know what you're saying. Whatever you gave me, I'm giving you back. I didn't touch the contents of either the house or of this kiss. You gave it to me, and I said, okay, I'm going to hold on to it, and I'm giving it back to you. Such case is potter. Why is it potter? Because he didn't give him a definite amount and say, in the kiss it was $10 and I only find $5. No. He said it was a kiss molly. It was a kiss molly. I'm giving back the same kiss molly. Mm-hmm. He chocolated it a little more. I don't know how much was there. You didn't say how much was there. You're potter. You have to say a definite amount. If ze'oimer had a ziv, ze'oimer had a chalain, that's already a different story. In other words, if he said, this house, did I give you this house? Yes. I gave you a tfuah full to the ziz. This means the beam on the top of the ceiling, which is coming down from the roof, until that's how full it was. And he says, no. You only gave me that was full until the chalain, until the window, not all the way till the top. Mm-hmm. Oh, so that's already considered to be me the mishkol aminyan, and therefore chayiv, you'd have to make a shvua. Now we said at the beginning of the Mishnah, ein ishbo'in on the ainment by karkam. Sorry again, avodim shtoris karkoyis hekdeshes. No din of tashlumi keifel and above a chamisha. Tashlumi keifel mean only how do you know the Tanur Rabban? Al kol dvar pesha, al shara chamar asal salma, al kol aveda, ad shi'er mekihuze, etc. Zoktimar, al kol dvar pesha, klal. Anything, everything, al kol dvar pesha. Al shara chamar asal salma, that's brat. Only these things. Al kol aveda, chos v'kol, klal v'brat v'klal, get them kin v'brat. Ma'ar ha'brat mefuri jam v'tal tov v'gufei momin. Every one of these things, shor, chamar, sev, v'salma, is a double metalkal, it's mobile, it's movable, it's not set in the ground like karka. The gufay mummy, it has inherent value. Af kol double metalta the gufay mummy. Yotze kakoy she metalta, they don't move. Yotze vanim she hukshel kakoy, so it's chalta oisel vnecham acharechum reshus oisel machuza, that ebed is hukshel kakoy. Yotze shtarish af bishay metalkalin, ein gufay mummy. They only represent money because of the ink written on the paper. The paper itself is only worth money for a bottle cap.
Less than a shavuot.
Less than a shavuot. Maybe it's a shavuot, but it's certainly not $100 or $1,000. It's just the wording. It's oisiyos porchos bishtar. It's not the shtar itself. Why hegdish? Because it says in the pasuk, "Itin ish el re'eyu." Re'eyu v'loishel hegdish. That's why it's disqualified. V'li abo v'chamisha. When Amzi stole a shor of hegdish, we're saying you don't have to any the tzvicha mechira. You don't have to pay arba v'chamisha. My time. So Rashi tells us, because every time that you're talking about four or five, that already includes the kefil. Yes. It's not separate from the kefil. Kefil is a component. Since we just established, based on the previous limud, Tashluf and Kefil min Alon, that you're part of from having to go to pay the double. On the Hegdish, if you were going to go and say that you, but you do have to pay dollar behay on the Hegdish, you would have to subtract from that the Kefil. So it wouldn't be 4 and 5, it would be 3 and 4. Since the Torah says, Abo tachas ashar v'chamisha tachas aseh, oh, you got to be 4 or 5, not 3 or 4, and that's why you would be potter in the case of Hegdish. Have a wonderful day, Rois.